This week we are continuing the series on the book of Colossians. We hope that this message blesses you.
We're going to be in Colossians chapter 3. I believe this is the last week we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3. And maybe even the book of Colossians. I really got to spend time in Colossians 4 this week and see if there's something in there for us. But you can turn to Colossians chapter 3. It's on page 1255 if you have my exact Bible. Chances are you don't, but that's okay. It might get you in the territory today. Sorry, babe. Also, you will see Lauren make faces at me sometimes too. They are not as kind sometimes. But today we're looking at this idea of what does it mean to put off our old self and to put on the new self. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11 kind of talks about that. But what it does is it creates this tension in our lives. Like, take off the old self, put on the new self. And if you've ever been, if you're somebody that is, you know, moving forward with God, like trying to be sanctified, trying to live the life that he's called us to, there's that tension that is there because it's like, okay, so I have to take off these and put these on. But yet, even when I put these on, like there's the tension. Like, I know I'm not who I was, but I'm also know that I'm not who I am gonna be. And so there's this tension of like our old self and our new self. It's not just like a metaphor of, hey, take off the old self, put on the new self. It's not just a teaching moment. It's like actual transformation of that we are no longer the old person and we are now a new person. Like, so many times I think we try to become a better version of ourselves. We just want to become new and improved. And it's not about becoming improved. It's about dying to ourself so that he can live in us, that the old self has to die so that the new self can live. It's this idea of journeying from life to death, from death to life, from old self to new self. And it's all throughout Paul's writings, all throughout the New Testament. And it's about our old self was marked by sin and death and separation from God. But our new self, the new life that we now get to live, is marked by redemption, by life and righteousness and holiness. And so this journey of putting off the old self, putting on the new self, a lot of times we think that it's just a one-time event. Like, we just go and I said the prayer, I walked down the Romans road with somebody and they showed me my sin and I confessed and, oh yeah, I did it, I'm done. And now I can go live the life that I've always wanted to live because now I can check that box off. I've got my fire insurance from hell and I never have to worry about it again because in the end, God wins. And, you know, there's people out there called universalists, and they think that at some point when the world comes to an end, that we're all going to get one more chance to declare our love for God and we get to avoid hell. Nope, not true. You have this opportunity on this life to declare your faith in him, your hope in him, your belief in him, to confess that he is the one true Son of God, that he took upon our sins on himself, that he died, he was buried, he rose from the grave on the third day, that he overcame death and sin and destruction, and that now we can have new life. Like, this is your opportunity. This is it. It's a transformation. It can't just be one time. I said a prayer. I came forward. I'm done. The idea that Paul uses here is putting off, taking off clothes and putting on clothes. It's like that should be daily. You know, I was a youth pastor for 15 years, and man, the worst part of youth camp are the kids that forget that it's a daily thing. Changing the clothes, you know, taking showers, getting cleaned up. I can't tell you how many times I've had to throw kids in showers fully clothed. Don't worry, not canceling me today, right? Fully clothed into showers and just like hosing them down. I'm like, bro, you smell, you know, like you stink. You just got to do it. And so many times we as Christians, it's like we do that. We take off the old self and we put on our new self and we're like, man, we're good. And man, that first day of youth camp, they got them new shorts, new shirt, right, that they want to show everybody, and they look good. But man, by day two, after one day of rec, it's like, man, that ain't it. You got to change. One year I was in charge of the rec for the whole camp. My brother used to put on a camp before he moved to Honduras to be a missionary. He put on this camp and he said, "Hey, Jeff, I want you to come and do the rec for me." And I was like, "Dude, that's a bad idea. I'm just telling you." He's like, "No, it'll be good. It'll be good." I was like, "Okay." And so we were coming up with things, and one of the things was like spiritual warfare that we were talking about. And I was like, "Man, you know what would really prove this point would be," and they had like this master hill, like two hills and like in the middle. I was like, "What if we did like a mustard and ketchup war?" And of course, I don't tell him anything. He's like, "Hey, you handle the games. I trust you." I'm like, and I told him, bad idea, bad idea. And so I went to like 17 Costco's and bought all the mustard and ketchup that I could, put them in like individual squirt bottles, and we just equipped all the youth. There were 600 youth, and we did it like in like stages of 200 kids at a time. And we just equipped them with squirt bottles of mustard and ketchup. And they just, and still there's a kid that's like, "No, I'm good. I'm not that bad." I'm like, "Bro, you're going to go take a shower, man." And how many times do we do that too? We say a prayer. We put on our good clothes and we're like, "Hey, we're good. I'm saved." And then we go out through life and life is messy and stinky. And we think, "Hey, we're okay. We're okay. They won't ever be able to tell." Right? It's okay, because in the end, I'm going to get cleaned up. And he says he's going to take off my grave clothes. I'm going to get a new glorious body. You will. And there's no more tears in heaven, none of that. But for the rest of us that got to live with you, we're like, "Hey, bro, you stink, man. Hey, that old self of anger, of malice, of rage, of gossiping, it's like you stink." And so what we have to begin to do is, when we look at taking off this old self, putting on our new self, there is a one-time thing. Like, you have to be able to go, "I know that time that I said that, I believe that, confess that," but then it's a daily process. Every day, we have to make the choice to say no to sin, no to the old self, and yes to who we were supposed to be. It's a transformation of the Christ follower. It's not just about improving ourselves, but becoming the people that God created us to be. This mic always falls down and I have to pull it up, so don't let that be a distraction. Sorry. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. The word says in 2 Corinthians that we have been made new in him. The old is gone and the new has come. But there's a tension between that. Like, I've been made new, I get it, but why is the old still there? It's this concept that is called the already, but not yet. We're already there, but we haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen the fullness of who we were supposed to be. So we're going to read Colossians 5 through 11. It should be on the screen. This is the Christian Standard Bible, but yours will be pretty similar to this. Starting in verse 5, it says, this is Paul writing to the church in Colossians. He says, "Therefore, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath is coming upon the disobedient, and you once walked in these things when you were living in them." Verse 8, "But now put away all of the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices." Verse 10, "And you have put on the new self. You are being renewed in the knowledge according to the image of your Creator. In Christ there is not Greek or Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all." Praise be to God. Father, we just give you this time to work in us as we are in your word. Holy Spirit, would you teach us today? Would you lead us and guide us in everything that we say? Anything that you want to say to us today, Father, we receive it. Father, give us the strength to walk those things out that you are calling us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. "Therefore, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature." All of those things. right? And put on the new self. So it's this tension, this idea that we have to put on this new self. We have to walk as if we are all of those things, but yet the old will always try to creep back in. There's the two realities that we talked about. It's the already and it's the not yet. It's that I know those things are coming and I will see it fully when I stand before him face to face. But in the meantime, there are days where I stink. I know that I've been made righteous, purified, holy, washed clean of my sin. But there are days where my flesh loves the things that the world has to offer. One day that won't be the case. I would love to say that it's tomorrow, babe, but it might not be. You know, there's a good chance it's not going to be tomorrow. But it's this reality of already but not yet. In him we are new creations. Our old selves have been crucified with him, and we have been raised to walk in newness of life. The good part is that it's the already but not yet. But it doesn't change. The reality is that we've already been made new. We don't have to work. I love that. So what was that? That maybe the blood, right? That's probably it. Right? That song, it's never been about striving or earning. It was like, just because I'm not there yet doesn't mean that I have to earn my way into it. Just because the Lord's like, hey, this is going to be you one day if you just really try hard enough. If you really just put your mind to it, then you can get there. No, the reality is there's the new self and that's me and that's who I am. And the Lord allows me to get there. He gives his spirit to me to help get me to that point. While we are spiritually renewed and our future with God is secure, we live in a broken world. There's temptation and there's sin. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, though we are wasting away outwardly, but inwardly we are being renewed daily. Even though we live in this fallen world, where things are happening and there's bad things that happen that we don't understand, that we can't explain. There are things, like, it's so easy to say that, man, that the world is doing and it's so hard. But honestly, there are things that are in me that have still been bought and paid for, but there's a reality that has to come out of it. That I, even though outwardly things are wasting away, inwardly I'm being renewed. It's this idea in John 17 when Jesus is praying for, it says that he prays for himself, the church and the disciples, the world. He says that you are in the world, but you are not of the world. Hebrews 13 says, the world, it doesn't say that. The world is not our home. This idea that it's we're already there, but yet we're not. We're here on earth, but we have to understand that the world, this earth, is not our home. The things that the world says is important is not important. The things that the world values are of no value to us. Galatians 6:14, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Romans 12, love this one. It says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Why do we have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice? Because we live in an reality of it's already but not yet. If I didn't have to present my body continually as a sacrifice, then it would be done. Yes, the finished work of Jesus is done, but now comes my part, because it does say, Paul is saying, hey, but you put to death your earthly nature. You put off your clothes. You put on your clothes. Like so many times we just want to say, Lord, just take this from me. This desire for Dr. Pepper that overwhelms me, just take it. And you know what he's saying? He's saying, hey, I want you to put that to death. I've given you everything that you need for life and godliness. I've given you the Holy Spirit who lives in you, empowers you, equips you. And man, so many times we just say, man, wouldn't it be good if the Lord would just take that? Yeah, it would. But it'd also be even better for you to walk through it yourself so that you can trust in the Father the whole journey. See that he's faithful all the way to the end, that he never leaves you, he never forsakes you. It says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord. And it says, and what? And be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It says, no longer do not be conformed to the pattern of the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This idea that it's already but not yet, put off the old self, the old self, and we'll talk about what that is, but our old self is the identity that we had with Adam. You see that Adam and Eve were placed in perfection in the Garden of Eden. They were given everything that they needed, but yet they saw one thing that they couldn't have, and yet they desired it more than anything else. What the enemy had to offer them, they desired more than what the Lord had planned for them. The old self, my old self, is the identity of Adam, where my life is defined by sin and death. That apart from Jesus, I will be ruled by sin, and my eventual falling out will be death. My end will be death. That's a better way to say it. My end will be death. But this new creation, where it says, take off the old self, take off the old clothes, put on your new clothes, is a life that I am now identified by Jesus Christ, where my life is now not identified by sin and death, but of life and of righteousness and holiness, where Jesus, my identity, is that is covered by the blood of Jesus. It's this idea, you know, that me and Lauren, we started really cracking down on the budget a year and a half ago, I think, maybe almost 2 years now. Maybe, yeah, it feels like 47 years. But, and you know, there's the new reality of like, hey, here's the money, and here's where it's going to go this month. And you know it. There's no, we've already had the discussions. We've already talked about it. We've already planned it. We got it. And then Georgia comes to Texas next weekend, and Jeff's flesh is like, if we don't eat this month and if we don't pay any of our bills, we could get a ticket in the nosebleeds. I love you that much, babe, that I would give that up for you, for me and you to go to that. It's the idea that we know who we are in Christ. We know that the things of the world are no longer for us. But man, every once in a while, isn't there that temptation to go back to it? You start dieting, right? Now I don't think you say dieting, I say it's like lifestyle change, right? Is that the right word? It's a lifestyle change, and you're like, hey man, I'm going to eat healthy, and I'm going to do this, and you know, all of those things, and your mind is like locked in. And then you go to a birthday party, and they got that Walmart cheap cake, but you know it's good. You know you just want to just eat it. It's the same way. We were talking on Wednesday night, and a couple people shared, like, used to really struggle with the language, cussing, you know, especially not even just before Christ, but since knowing Christ and walking with the Lord. And I like to tell stories and be funny. If you probably haven't noticed that, I might not be funny to some people, but some people enjoy it. And so I like to tell stories and make people laugh. And, you know, as you add a little cuss word here and there, then it always makes the story funnier. But it's not true. That was the old way of thinking. But you set your mind on like, hey, that language is not the language that I'm going to associate any longer. And you're like, man, this is so good. Been going 2 weeks and I feel great. And then something happens and you're like, man, that old self is like, hey, remember these words? You loved these words. And you're like, nah, it's fine. I'm good. But it's the same way, like every step we make, and it's like, we're saved and we're redeemed. We're made new, and the old self is gone and we put on the new self. But we live in a fallen and broken world. We live in a world that the enemy despises you. And he knows you've given up cussing. But he's ready to remind you of every word when you hit your thumb with a hammer. When that person cuts you off. When that person looks at you just wrong. You know, like, he's ready. He's like, hey, remember that word? That's a good one. You loved that word. It's this idea that we have to put off the old self and put on the new self. And it has to be a daily thing. Tomorrow, you're going to have to wake up and you're going to have to go, I'm no longer who I was yesterday. Today, I've been made new. I've been empowered and equipped to live a life that pleases God, that reflects his character, his holiness, and his goodness to those around me. Tomorrow, you're going to have to do that. You might have to do that later on tonight after the Cowboys lose again. Sorry. But every day, you can't just do it once and think that you're good and coast through life. This idea, I think I missed my first main idea. Main idea is transformation is a deliberate rejection of our old sinful habits and attitudes and reorienting our desires and affections. When we're talking about going from the old self to the new self, it is a deliberate rejection of our old sinful attitudes and habits and reorienting our desires and affections. The old self. It's going to be up here if you want to take notes. It won't have everything up there. That is going to bother me. I can't push down on that. The old self. Paul is very clear. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Actually, even before that, we already talked about this a few weeks ago, but it says, set your mind on things above in verse 2, not on earthly things. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature. Therefore, put away the following: anger, wrath, malice. Put it all away. The old self is this idea of we used to walk in these ways. We used to live that life. The old self represents our life before Christ, where we were slaves to sin, dominated by our fleshly desires, and cut off from the life of God. Your old self, however you picture it, you might think, man, go back in my old self, high school, man, those were the glory days, right? Or you might think back to before you knew Jesus and man, I really miss that time. Your old self, the old life, apart from Jesus Christ, you were a slave to sin. You were ruled and dominated by your own desires and you were apart from God. That's not that fun. You see, because the way that sin works is it makes you think that it's freedom. It's like, man, I can choose whatever I want to do. Like, there's nothing that's off limits. I get to choose whatever I want. I am my own master. But the truth is that when you give in to that, to the old way, to the old self, you are the one who is enslaved and entrapped. We thought that we were living in our according to our own will and our own ways, that we were our own master. But the old self is corrupt through evil desires. It promises pleasure, satisfaction, and fulfillment, but always leaves us empty and further from God. Have you noticed that? Man, the world is like, hey, just get this, acquire that, reach that, and you'll have everything that you want. It will leave you empty and further away from the Father. I was watching this valedictorian speech of this kid who talked about how he found out that he was up for it. He worked and did it all year long, gave up everything else in order to get the valedictorian. And he did. And he said, man, and it felt so good for 30 seconds. Man, have you ever just like, man, if I can just get that new car. You get that new car, and then what happens? 30 days later, they go, hey, we need a payment for that new car. And then 30 days later, it's a payment for that new car. And then 30 days later, it's a payment for that new car. All that the world has to promise you that makes you think that you're going to be better off, all the ads and the commercials, if you just smell like this, if you just look like this, if you just drive this, if you buy this, then everything's going to be good. They promise you pleasure and fulfillment, and they leave you empty and further away from the Father. You're like, man, if I can just get in that new house that I don't have to work on anymore, and you know that the door's all closed, and you're like, man, this is going to be good. And then you get in there and you realize, man, it's got things that need to be changed, right? Or you get in there and it's like, man, the house is perfect. Oh, you know what though? Really need to do some landscaping here. So let's spend all of our Saturdays and Mondays, our Saturdays and money to get landscaping. You're like, oh, there it is. That's good. Oh, and then you read about somebody that does gardening. So here we're going to garden now. Like, man, if I just get my house and I can rest and then I just need a house and I have a bigger table and man, I'll just invite people over and I'll really, you know, man, if we're really into the Christian thing, we're like, man, we'll have like small groups there and it, man, it'll just be a place to bless people. And then you'll figure out very quickly that once you get that house, you have to work more to pay for the house and all the things. And then you don't have time to invite anybody over because you're working all the time. You know, you get that new car and it's, man, it's good. And that payment comes, that new car smell, and then it's gone. First time somebody leaves Torchy's Tacos in there for a couple of months, that smell is gone. All the things that the world has to promise you, I promise you they will leave you empty, wanting more and further from the Father. The old self, when you boil it down, it's rebellion against God. It's me telling God, I reject what you want for me. I reject what you think is best for me, and I know it's best. The old self is any thought, desire, or action that places me above God. The old self is any thought, any desire, any action where I place myself above the Father. The old self is always trying to exalt himself, to rear its ugly head. And that's what needs to be put to death is your flesh, is my flesh. Those desires that I want what I want when I want them. And I want it how I want it. And most of the time, it's I want it now. The old self is anything that it tries to exalt itself above the Father. And it always tries to come back. No matter how far you get down the road of the new self and you become more like Jesus and you begin to look more like him, it's always going to be there. Your flesh is always going to be there trying to get you to return back to the old habits, the old ways. You see, it seems like it's been a real, real bad year for pastors and falling short and really making some really bad decisions and breaking up, bad things. And there's one guy, and you just look at, and you're like, man, how? You've led so many people to Christ. You do all of those things, and you're professor, like all the things, full of the wisdom of Spirit. And it's like, all it takes is one moment for that old self to go, hey, why don't you do this? All those things that you thought you've been missing, it doesn't take a lifetime of chasing those things. It takes one moment to go, I would rather have that than everything that the Lord has planned for me. Adam and Eve made one choice. I want that instead of what you have for me. And they surrendered everything. The old self will say, it's just one. Nobody will even know. It's just one look. It's just one bite. It's just one word. It's just one dinner. It's just one message. It's just one. Just one compromise. Agreeing with the old self. It doesn't do away with who you are. It doesn't do away with your position before Christ, that once we were far off, now we've been saved and delivered and bought as at a price, and like we've been redeemed. But what it does is it says, I would rather have that than be that. I would rather do that than be known for that. Sin is not something you can compromise with. You can't negotiate with it like, well, hey, if I just do that or just do this. Sin is a cancer to the soul, and it will destroy relationships. It will destroy lives. It will steal your hope, your freedom, and your peace. The old self has got to die. Like, we can't let it play around. We can't play around with it. We can't let it hang around. We can't just be like, oh, it's fine. We'll just let it stay there. I can handle it. I can manage it. We'll just let it. No. Put to death the flesh. Put to death your earthly desires. If you struggle in certain areas, quit letting it hang around. Quit giving it a spot to go, oh, okay, I can control it. You cannot control it. Because the flesh never sleeps. The flesh never stops. The enemy will let you go down a road for a while, and then he will call back that debt when it's the most harmful to you and to everyone around you. You think you're getting away with it? You think it's just one more time? Nobody. Oh, the enemy just waits and waits and waits. And then he says, hey, it's time to pay that debt now. And it's going to cost you everything. The old self has got to be put to death. The new self. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new has come. The old is gone. Hallelujah. I love how, and where this comes out of is in Colossians chapter 3. It says, you know, you have put off the old self with its practices. And you have put on the new self. You are being renewed in the knowledge according to the image of your Creator. The new self is where I continue to be renewed in my mind into the image of my Creator. Where I keep going, I'm identified as a son of God, not as a son of the world. That's how we're transformed, is by the renewing of my mind to the fact of who I am. It's not an improvement. And we talked about that earlier, but you remember in John chapter 3, I believe it's John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he says, hey, what must a man do to be saved? And Nicodemus was thinking he's good, right? He's a leader, teacher of the law, like, hey, I'm good. I think I got this. This is a safe question to ask. And Jesus says, a man must be born again. And Nicodemus is a smart man, right? He's not uneducated. And he goes, so a man must re-enter the womb and then be, can you imagine Jesus like Jesus really resisted sarcasm at that point. I mean, that I give him most props on this right here of most anything. Nicodemus, a leader, teacher, goes, so a man's got to go into the womb and then be born again. And Jesus is like, what are you talking about, man? He said, a man must be born again, and to be born again is to be born of the Spirit. This new life where we say, put to death the old self. The new life is a life that's characterized by life where the Holy Spirit breathes into us, where we've been washed by the blood of Jesus. We've been made pure. We've been made righteous. And now the Holy Spirit speaks into us and gives life to us. This new self, where it says you've put off the old and now put on the new. It's that illustration of taking off the clothes. All right, so the old self is sin and death. It's the clothes that stink. And he says, and now I'm going to clothe you with righteousness. We have all this talk of the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus said, hey, I came to confer to you a kingdom. And he brings forth the kingdom. And he says, later on, Paul goes, the kingdom of heaven is not a matter of food or drink, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Our lives of the new self, when we walk as Christ followers, we carry forth the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You see that we cannot be identified any longer by the old self, because now when Jesus sees us, the new self, we've been covered by his blood. We've been washed pure, made righteous and holy. This whole idea of putting off the old self, putting on the new self, has to go back to our identity. Where do we find our identity, our value, and our purpose? Do we find it in what the world has to offer, or do we find it in the finished work of Jesus Christ? Do we find it that I am made righteous, that I've been washed, I've been purified? That is my identity. Now every desire stems from that place. No longer does it stem from my flesh and sin and death. We have to put on the new self, which is to be clothed in righteousness, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. in Romans, it says that we are not in the flesh, but we are in the spirit. And if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, you see that the Spirit enables us to live the life that we have received in Christ Jesus. This new identity that we have, where it can seem like when you read this, and even like verse 6 is like, hey, because of these, God's wrath is coming upon the disobedient. And it's like, dang, I've got to do all these things. No, actually, you don't. You take it off and you put it on, then you walk in the identity of who you are as a new creation. So now every decision that you make is based on right here that I am loved, that I am forgiven, that I am valued, that I have purpose. You see, when you make your decisions based on that, then no longer do you have to try to be somebody that you're not. Pride is such a big factor in our lives. And why? Because we don't know that we're loved and we're valued. We want everyone to look at us and go, oh man, look at them. They're doing well in their job. Their families are you know, thriving. Their kids are good at sport. Like, man, look at that. And so pride puffs us up because we're making a decision, and our hearts and our attitudes are based out of our old self because we don't think that we're enough right here if we're just plain old Beverly. Oh, Beverly, you don't have to be anybody else other than who you are because you're loved and you're valued. And when you know that, then the old self, when it tries to creep up and go, hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you talk bad about this person? I love Beverly. Beverly can say, it's okay, I don't need to do that. I don't need to make them look bad so that I can look better, because I already look pretty good, because I've got the blood of Jesus that covers me and he doesn't see my faults and my failures. Everything that we try to do, the old self, is to try to tear down others so that we can feel better about ourselves. Get things that we want because we don't think that the things that the Lord has to offer are good enough. We try to find pleasure in the things that the world has to offer because we don't truly believe that what the Lord has is of more value and of more pleasure than what the world has to offer. Why do young people walk away from the church so many times? We want to say it's because of disconnect and all of that, but the truth is it's because they are being led by their flesh, because they want to go do all those things that they think that they're supposed to do. And then they say, when I'm married, when I have kids, then I'll come back to God and I'll serve him then, or I'll go to church then and I'll raise my kids in church. And the truth is, once you give in to the old self, man, it's real hard to come to church after that. You think, oh, because why? We think that we can just control it. We think that we've got it all under control. Hey, I'm going to go live the life that I want to live, right? I'm going to go do all those things that I want to do, and then I'll come back to the Lord when I'm right and ready. Because we truly believe that those things are of more value and of more fun than what it is to be with the Lord. I think sometimes because we don't do a good job of showing the young people the word. Man, you read these stories of, I was reading one going through my daily thing, the Simpler Bible, and talking about one time Paul's locked up. This is in the book of Acts. Paul is in jail, surrounded by four squads of soldiers. He's chained up and he's chained to two guards. And there's people praying for him. And it says, in the middle of the night, an angel of the Lord came and struck him, and his chains broke free. The door opened and he walked out. Him and the angel walked out. He goes up, he goes to the people, and the people are like, it's a pretty funny story. He like knocks on the gate, and one of the servant comes up, and all these people are praying, and the servant's like, oh man, that's what we've been praying for. And so the servant runs off and then has to come back and get him. But all the people didn't believe the servant. They're like, no way. Why do people walk away from the Father? Why? Because we're not showing them that. How awesome is that story? The way that the Lord provides over and over and over, and we think that we have to go and do all these things. Do you know that one of the greatest causes to the breakdown of family right now is the oil field? All these young people go, man, I can't wait to graduate high school so I can go make real money out there. And you know what you do? You sacrifice your family and your purpose to go chase a dollar. That in 2 years, none of them have anything left to show for it. We have to be renewed in the knowledge of our Creator. We have to put on our new self. We cannot allow the old self to hang around. When we come to this idea where we realize that we have already been saved, justified, and made new in Christ, but the reality is that we're not fully sanctified yet. We're there. We just have to walk it out. And that's the difficult part. Put to death those things. And I know, like, when I stand up here and say, like, we can't let it hang around, put it to death, I know that's extremely difficult. You know why I know that? Because it's extremely difficult for this guy right here. Because, man, the flesh is very convincing and is relentless. But daily, we have to be in the Word. If we're going to put to death the old self, and we're going to walk in the newness of life that we have been promised, if we're going to walk as the person that we've been created to be, then it's the main idea is that transformation is a deliberate rejection of our old sinful habits and attitudes. And it's a reorientation of our desires and affections. It has to be deliberate. Like, if I'm going to walk in who I'm supposed to be, I have to be in the Word daily. You cannot just fly in and out of this thing whenever you want or whenever you need it. Because if you do, it will be very rarely that you're in it, and it will only be in a time of crisis, and it will only be until that crisis is averted and the Lord solves everything and everything's good, and then you walk back away from Him again, only to come back when things are bad. If we're going to walk in this newness of life, in this new self, then we have to be renewed by the Word. We have to read the Word so that we can reflect the character of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, so that we can see who we are supposed to be. You don't get that from anywhere else except from the Word. We're new creatures, but there are remnants of the old self that still wage war against us. And when temptations arise, if we don't have this Word of God in us, then we will fail. It's the old saying, and you hate it when these old people give you these sayings when you're young, and then you come back and you start saying these sayings, right? If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. If I only come into this Word when I'm so desperate for it because something's gone really wrong, it's not too late because the Lord is good, but you're going to miss out on so much what the Lord has already had planned for you, because the enemy, you allow the enemy to rob you. When you're tempted, in whatever way you're tempted, the enemy will whisper into your lies. The only way to combat the lie is with the truth. And if you don't have the truth of His Word in you, how are you going to combat it? When the enemy goes, hey, the Lord doesn't really want that for you, just go ahead and take it yourself. Oh, the Lord's holding back. There's something better if you just listen to me. And how will I ever know what the Lord has to say? How will the truth set me free if I only allow the enemy to speak to me? Because the truth is, if you're not in the Word daily, do you know who is still in your ear daily? He doesn't sleep in and go, I'll get them tomorrow. He's relentless. I'll wait till the end of the night when I'm not so tired and I've put the kids to bed. I don't know why we tell ourselves that. That's the worst time, you know. Someone texted me and my wife at 8:30 last night, and Lauren's response was, he'll have to get back to you in the morning. He's snoring. Like, I'm out. All right, 8:30, I'm out. I didn't even get to see Tennessee get beat, which would have been great. But we have to be in the Word daily because the enemy is in our ear constantly. You cannot do this on your own. I think for so long we've ignored the Holy Spirit. There's entire denominations that just ignore the whole idea of it because they're freaked out by certain aspects of it because they don't get it. And we've just said, man, the Holy Spirit is weird, and I can love Jesus, I can love the Father, but the Holy Spirit, I don't know about that. And what you've done is you've taken everything that the Lord has given you to be able to empower you and equip you to walk in the newness of life and said, oh, that's great, but I'll do it on my own. Not knowing, because we've been taught wrong about the Holy Spirit. When we talk Holy Spirit, probably for some of you, your first thought goes to, man, speaking in tongues, running around, crazy people falling down. And you're like, man, that's just, I just want no part of that. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, it's better for me to go so that I can give you somebody who's going to be better for you. The Holy Spirit who's going to comfort you, who's going to lead you and guide you into all truth, all understanding, who's going to convict you of sin and of unrighteousness, who's going to whisper the heart of the Father to you, who's going to reveal the hidden things of the Father to you. Man, and how arrogant are we? How arrogant has Jeff been? Where I said, that freaks me out. I'm just going to put it over there. And then I wonder why I struggle in sin habits. And I'm like, Lord, why don't you just take this from me? And he's going, why don't you just be empowered by the Holy Spirit who I've already given you? There's just a couple of practical steps, and they should probably be up there. When we talk about this tension, this reality of the already but not yet one, we have to renew our minds. That's that verse, Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This renewal comes through immersing yourselves in God's word, allowing it to shape our thoughts, our attitudes, and our actions. The more that we read this, the more we become aligned with this. The more that we go, hey, that's what I want for me and for my life. Confess and repent. Man, you're going to fail. At some point, you're going to fail. And the way to walk in the newness of life is to confess and to repent. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He will heal us and he will forgive us and he will purify us from all unrighteousness. Why is that something that we're so afraid of? What? Because we don't want to have to tell the Father all the things that we did? Hey, break it to you. He already knows. Man, it's so hard to go and tell him all these things. Oh, man, I thought about this. I did this. I said that. And he goes, I know, and I've got a better way for you. But man, don't we just think he's going to come down hard on us? He's going to smite us, smack us. I mean, I've been to the principal's office so many times. Confession and repentance is just that wooden paddle coming right at you. And the Father is not that. The angels rejoice when we return to him. There's a party that's thrown when our hearts are surrendered back to him. When we confess, and can I tell you, confession and repentance is as crucial as reading your word. Because if you just let that, you sin, you fall short, it's going to happen. But if you just leave that unsettled and unfinished, then you're going to allow shame and guilt, condemnation. And do you know like it's real easy to eat cake when there's cake in the house. It's just there. But when people are on lifestyle changes and there's no more cake in the house, it's really hard. Just looking, I'm scanning the whole room. It's really hard to eat cake when it's not in the house. When we confess and we repent, we remove that temptation. It doesn't mean that it's not there. I can still go buy my own cake, and I do. But it's a lot harder. Because it shows up on the statement. I have to explain why I bought a cake. It's a lot harder to go get it. But it's when you remove it out of reach. Confession and repentance, not only does it bring back that peace that you have with the Father, it removes it out of your reach and says, hey, I don't want that anymore. Can you please just take the cake out of my house? I don't want it anymore. Another way is to walk in community. Man, you know, people are people, and sometimes it's so easy to be frustrated with them and to just, man, You know, the perfect church is the church that has no members of it, you know, not even a pastor. But honestly, that we've been put in each other's lives, and whether it's for a short season or a long season, but we've been put in each other's lives for a reason. Because there are things that you can see in me that I don't see. Or maybe there are things that have been there so long that I don't even recognize them anymore. I'm oblivious to them, and I need you to go, hey, Jeff, the way you say this, the way you do this, this habit that you have. The only way that we're going to get to where we need to be is to walk in community with people. It's this idea of, you know, putting off clothes, putting on clothes, being clothed with righteousness. My brother, so I guess he's my nephew, Tyler, he probably still does. It's embarrassing, but he never has like an idea that his shirt's on backwards, and he really doesn't care. Does he, Dad? It's my dad's grandson, right? He just doesn't care that his shirt's on backwards. And you'd be like, hey, Tyler, your shirt's on backwards. He's like, oh, okay. One time we were in Honduras. That's where they lived, and he's here in the States now. One time in Honduras, like, his pants are on backwards. And I'm just like, bro, okay, shirt, I can get past. Pants are on backwards. How do you do that? And he just doesn't care. When we walk in community, and Milo, the little dude up here that had the pliers, Milo, he struggles with putting underwear on. Like, I don't, he forgets. He gets in a hurry. And so every time you get ready, and it's like, he's fully dressed, ready to go. And it's like, Milo, you got underwear? And he's like, oh, I'll be right back. And I'm like, dude, it's the first thing you put on. Like, Evelyn, they're in their shoes and tying shoes, slipping on shoes. Evelyn, every time, shoes backwards. And even Tom, even when she tries to do it the right way, like, she still goes backwards. But how many times do we need people in our lives and community to go, not literally, but, hey, Jeff, you're wearing your underwear today. Please don't ask me that. Or, Jeff, your shirt's on backwards, man. You look like a weirdo. Where it says, hey, Jeff, the way that you were talking to that person right there, that's the old self. You got your shirt on backwards. But it's become so natural to me that I don't catch it. If we're going to walk in newness of life, if we're going to put on that new self, if the old is going to be dead, then it requires community to come alongside us and say, your shoes are on the wrong feet. The last one is to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is both the source and the goal of our new life. When we feel the weight of the old self pressing in, we have to look to him for strength. When we falter, when we fall short, we look to his finished work on the cross for forgiveness. And when we grow weary in battle, we look to the hope of his return, knowing that he will make all things new. Yes. Wherever you set your eyes on, wherever you set your sights on, is where you're going to go. If I'm going to walk in the newness of life, if I'm going to put on the old, the new self, then my eyes have to be looking there. I cannot constantly be going here and here and here, which when you're ADHD, it's pretty difficult not to, right? So, but with the Lord, it's just, hey, this is where I'm going to go. It doesn't matter what the world says here. It doesn't matter what happens here. I'm going to set my eyes on him, and that's going to be where I go. And every day, you have to do that. Because transformation is a deliberate rejection of our old sinful habits and attitudes. And, did I underline it? And it's not just that. And it's reorienting our desires and our affections to him. We live in this tension. The already but not yet. We've been saved, made whole. We've been delivered. We're there. Positionally, we're there. We've been seated with him in heavenly places. But yet we live here. It's the tension where the old self is pulling us back down and the new self is trying to pull us back up. The old self is trying to get you to remember who you used to be, remind you of who you used to be, and the new self is trying to remind you of who you've been called to be. that you're made in the image of the Father, that our identity is in Christ, which is that of life and of righteousness, no longer of sin and death. But this tension is not a sign of defeat, because we struggle with this. And there's this pull back and forth. It doesn't mean that we've been defeated or that we're not where we're supposed to be. It's that tension of the already but the not yet. We got to remain steadfast. When you feel that tension, the old self pulling you back, remain steadfast in your pursuit of the Father. Don't take your eyes off of Him. You got to live with hope. Whenever we lose hope, we lose direction in our lives. When you feel that tension and you feel like you want to give in because it's hard, live with hope and expectation of the Father. And then you have to walk in confidence of who you are. When you feel the old self, when you feel those old words come back into your vocabulary and they're right on the tip of your tongue, those old habits and attitudes, don't lose hope. Remain steadfast. But most importantly, remember who you are in Christ Jesus. You are loved. You are valued. You have purpose. You've been made right with Him. And when you know that, every decision you make based off of that will draw you closer to Him. So I'm going to end with a prayer. And for you today, for me today, the response is, Father, is there anything in the old that I've just been letting hang around? You're going to reveal it to me, and I'm going to go, Father, I confess and I repent. I want you to move that cake all the way out of my reach. Take it out of my house. You're going to say, Father, is there any area that I've living in compromise? I surrender it to you today. And if you've placed the Holy Spirit just to the side and thought that you could do it yourself, then we're going to invite the Holy Spirit into you today. So, Father, we come before you right now. Is there any habit, any sin, anything that I am letting hang around? Father, would you just, I confess it right now. Repent of it. I reorient my desire and my affections to you. Ask for you to just remove that out of my life right now. Father, is there any area of compromise in my life? Is there anything that I've tried to do on my own, by my own power, my own strength? Father, I invite the Holy Spirit into my life to move, to fill me, to transform me. Father, may I desire your word and your presence above all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.